It was nobody's fault I was working for Satan's mother, except my own. And that had been necessity, not choice. Being made redundant from my civil service PR job had seemed like a blessing, especially when I then took off to Malta and met Anton. But upon returning to my hometown of Fairview in Scotland, there hadn't exactly been a wealth of employment opportunities. I'd been lured in with Kitty's unkept promise of the opportunity to contribute to the cake display and the prospect of working on my baking skills. I realised I could have looked for work in public relations again, but the prospect of being trapped in some high-rise office filled me with dread. If I owned a place like this, I thundered inwardly, it certainly wouldn't resemble its current state. I stacked the dirty teacups and glared at the dark wood panelling and sombre matching tables and chairs. What once might have been considered cosy had long since become dated and drab. The tea room carpet was a loud red and green tartan affair that shouted at you as soon as you stepped foot in the place, and the dim glow of the carriage lights did nothing for the dingy Scottish landscapes Kitty had hung on the walls. The tea room didn't even serve loose-leaf tea. Kitty bought cheap tea bags and coffee that erred on the side of powdery. I promised myself that if I ever had my own establishment, customers would be treated to coffee that was rich and aromatic. I would stock a whole array of teas. French Earl Grey, oolong, white tea, jasmine. Baking had always held a fascination for me, but ever since I'd taken that night school baking class the summer before university, I'd fallen even more in love with it. The textures and smells, the meditative process of kneading and beating, and the way even the simplest of recipes could trigger the recollection of a special memory or remind you of a precious moment was something to be savoured. I glanced down at the silver bracelet dangling delicately from my wrist, thinking of when my late great Aunt Hetty had given it to me after I'd completed the baking course. I whisked away the tray bearing the dirty crockery, avoiding the sympathetic expressions from Mrs. Arnold and the manicured ladies, and heading straight for the dishwasher. My new boss could be hard to take, but there were a couple of positives to this job. At least my best friend, Morven, lived nearby, and thank goodness I still had my flat just around the corner. I'd rented it out to a divorced lady in her 40s for the past 18 months, with a view to selling it after I'd moved to Malta to start life properly with Anton. My tenant had proved to be an ideal one, moving out 6 months ago to join her new man in London. Once my flat had been vacated, Morven diligently collected my mail, liaised with the estate agent when I couldn't, and paid frequent visits to make sure all was well for my imminent return from Malta. As soon as Malta entered my head, images of vanilla sand, seafoam popping like champagne corks against the rocks, and Anton's dark eyes swam in front of me. I slammed the dishwasher door shut in an effort to send them packing. All the hours and effort I'd put into making his wine bar in Valletta a success, and what did I receive in return? A gushing brush-off, as though he'd swallowed a self-help book, and the revelation that he'd replaced me with a burgundy-haired Russian. I just hoped he and his pneumatic barmaid Tanya didn't fall down any abandoned mine shafts. Kitty pulled me out of my dark thoughts by bustling over to the mound of blueberry muffins she'd made and needlessly rearranging them. I'd suggested jazzing up the muffin selection by introducing other options, such as candied ginger and apple, dark chocolate and Guinness, and pistachio and chai. My ideas were swiftly shot down with, "I know what my customers like, and it certainly isn't any of that foodie fad nonsense." What was faddish about ginger was anyone's guess. I'd returned to Fairview 3 months ago now and decided, in my lower moments, that members of the criminal underworld probably got more lenient sentences than working for Kitty Walker. "Lara, customer!" I bit my lip at Kitty's bark and turned to a young mum and her bright-eyed toddler. "How about one of my emerald biscuits?" Kitty called over to the little boy. "I bet you'd love the icing. I made these, you know." His ash-blonde head swiveled between Kitty's rather bland offering and the mini cupcakes I'd rustled up that morning, dotted with chocolate buttons and a dash of sparkles. Kitty followed the boy's blue gaze. "Where did those come from?" she glowered. "I made them," I replied, defiant.